Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Crime at the Family Table. I am one of your hosts, Alyssa, and today is going to be a solo episode. We've been having some technical difficulties. We're not quite sure what happened with last week's episode. We set it to publish. I don't know what Spotify was doing, but it didn't publish. So now you're going to get a double whammy. You're going to get two episodes dropping on the same day. One should already be up, and then another one will follow in the evening. So it's just me today. Of course, these solo episodes tend to be a lot shorter because we don't have the back and forth of a conversation between Latanya and I. So this previous episode, it's definitely going to be a lot longer than this present one. But thank you for bearing with us through our technical issues. We're still growing. The season of terms is coming to a close shortly. We just have a few more episodes left, and then we're done for the season. We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Just to get our heads on straight, to figure out and do our research for the next season. But we thank you for joining us this season and continuing to listen. And we would love to engage with you guys more. Take the polls, answer the questions. Help us know what we can do better, what you want to hear, if there are any particular cases that you want us to cover. Whatever, we want to engage with you guys more, and we are working on that. It's just, we're also two working gals, we're working women, so sometimes timing is a little bit difficult, but you've been hanging in there with us, and we appreciate your loyalty. But without further ado, of course, trigger warning, we are talking about someone losing their life, being unalived. If that is something that will trigger you, we have plenty of other episodes. Take a listen to those. Take care of your mental health and your well-being. Either way, we appreciate you. So let's start the show. So this term for today is the double jeopardy clause. Now, it's so interesting that I chose this because I know you guys all know who O.J. Simpson is. He recently passed away. May he rest wherever he is, because whether you're on the side of thinking he was innocent or guilty, it's definitely being judged by the ultimate judge now. So good luck, Mr. Simpson. If you remember, he was acquitted for the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her lover. And years later, he came out with a book. I forget the exact title, but it was like, I didn't do it, but if I did, here's how I would do it. And it was like, dude, you are so guilty. But because of something like double jeopardy, even if he fully admitted to her murder, in this book, he could not be tried twice for the same crime, for a crime that he was already acquitted of. So just to explain what double jeopardy is, a quick definition, let me grab my notes. The double jeopardy clause is actually in the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, and it says that you cannot be prosecuted twice for the same offense, though jeopardy only attaches or applies to prosecutions of the same criminal acts by the same sovereign. So states are considered separate sovereigns from the federal government of the United States. According to the dual sovereignty doctrine, more than one sovereign, such as a state government and a federal government, may prosecute you without violating double jeopardy if you break the laws of each sovereignty. So breaking a state law versus breaking a federal law, you have violated the different sovereignties, and you can be tried that way, but not if you're operating in the same sovereign. So according to the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the clause guarantees that there will be three things. Number one, no prosecution after an acquittal for the same offense. Number two, no double convictions for the same offense. And number three, no multiple punishments for the same offense. So the case that we'll be talking about today It's pretty open and shut. It's pretty straightforward. It's actually very short. It was kind of difficult for me to find very many details. I don't know if just because the case is like, which pains me to say because I remember 2002 so well, but it was like over 20 years ago. So I don't know if that's the reason or if because this case is so straightforward, it didn't have a lot of information, but we will trek on nonetheless. So in 2002, 24-year-old, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, Declan Lyons' body was discovered outside of the American Flatbread Pizza Company. They discovered he had been shot through the head. So when they initially found him, they just saw a head wound. They weren't sure exactly what caused the head trauma, but eventually they did discover that he had been shot through the head with a rifle. So he was found lying on the ground in the courtyard of the LaRue Farm Country Inn. He had worked as a baker at the Flatbread Pizza Company and maker of tomato sauce. They called him like sauce boss. He made the tomato sauce and salsa, used in the company's products for about 2 years. He was, at the time of his death, he was preparing tomato sauce in a large outdoor cast iron cauldron when he was killed. Declan was super popular. He was a likable guy. He actually had a fiance who was 7 months pregnant at the time. Her name is Jody Leslie. And he was just really a stand-up guy. He was described by a local farmer as a peaceful man who loved cooking. Like I said, his fiance was 7 months pregnant. He loved farming and the environment. And everybody said he didn't have any enemies because he was just that chill of a guy. He was a very peaceful and honorable sort, said Joey Klein. He was the local farmer. So Joey actually got to know Declan and his fiance when they moved to the farm from Wisconsin. So they were moving to study organic farming. And Joey was quoted to say, "I don't think he ran with a bad crowd. The people he hung out with were musicians and farmers." Like, he was saying he wasn't involved with like drugs or gang activity or anything that would like lead you to believe he would be caught up in something that would eventually like get him killed. And this is the sentiment like everybody who knew him had. Even his boss made comments about how great he was and how like shocked his the other employees, his co-workers, were all just as equally shook. So Joey Klein, the farmer that he did work for, sounded concerned that someone may have shot or hit him because, again, they didn't know that this was a gunshot wound yet. Because of the way he looked, I think it's random or based on someone deciding he looked like an Arab. But there's nothing Middle Eastern about him except that he had a beard. So to kind of explain that, it was 2002. And if you're not familiar, or maybe you're not American and you're listening, America was fresh off of the heels of the 9/11 attacks. They attacked the Twin Towers in New York City. There were other attacks that day as well. And many of these Middle Eastern citizens that were living in America, whether they were American born or not, they were being harassed at the time. They were being physically assaulted. People were just very suspicious of this group of people at the time because of 9/11 attacks. So in 2002, everybody is still shook because it was just a few months after 9/11 happened. So this is probably why Klein said something like that. So the couple worked on the farm for 3 seasons before moving on to explore other career options, which was great. And they were thinking about starting their own organic farm or business. He described Lyons as a foodie who was interested in cooking and working at the former Horn of the Moon Cafe in Montpelier before taking the job at American Flatbread Pizza Company. The founder of American Flatbread, his name was George Schenck. He was, like I said, he was equally as confused by the news of Declan's death and hearing that it was a homicide. So he said he knew of no one who might want to kill him. It's just completely out of bounds. It's incomprehensible. It's really awful. None of us can imagine how such a thing could happen. So when they were interviewing the boss, he said that other employees heard a loud popping noise outside and they ran out to find Declan fatally wounded. No one saw anybody leaving the scene. Even though when they heard the loud popping, they ran out immediately. Nobody saw anything. And everyone assumed that it was some sort of like workplace accident. So they were thinking like one of the machines malfunctioned and like hit him. They were thinking like a rock got in one of the machines and like flung and hit him in the head at like top speed, which is possible, but that's not what happened. They thought it was like faulty equipment, but after checking the equipment, they ran the equipment to make sure it was operating properly, and everything was. So for weeks, this case had no leads until a month later, Isaac Turnbull, who was a co-worker. So Declan was 24 at the time. Isaac was about 20 years old. He was a co-worker of Lyons. Isaac goes to this party. He's taking shrooms at the party. He admits to about six of his friends that he had killed Declan. He also admitted, keep in mind, that he was behind the 9/11 attacks. If that gives you any idea where we're going with this, based on, especially we just did an episode about the insanity plea. So this kind of falls right into that category as well. So even, again, their co-workers, the friends of Isaac, like everybody was like, Isaac and Declan were friends, like they were buddies. And that can't, it doesn't make sense, like, what would be the motive? There's no plausible motive here. But Isaac had access to the type of rifle believed to be the murder weapon. And he was seen by a witness carrying a large gun-sized package just before the murder. So, of course, they have to go with this lead. Isaac was arrested and was set to stand trial for the murder of Declan Lyons. Now, the confession that, you know, he gave while he was high on shrooms at the party was brought up during the trial. And the jury believed that the confession was just the drugs talking in combination with a previous mental health diagnosis. He had already had a diagnosis. They weren't very clear on what that was, but if I had to guess, I would think some sort of like bipolar, schizophrenia would probably be it. So there was a lack of circumstantial evidence. There just wasn't enough to place him at the crime. His mental competency, his mental health actually started to decline very quickly. So that just kind of like added the cherry on top to his legal team's proof that he was mentally unfit to stand trial and that he clearly was suffering some sort of mental episode and he couldn't have been held responsible. He couldn't have committed this crime, and his confession was just kind of the ravings of a lunatic. But all of that paired together, the jury had no choice but to acquit him. And they set him free, and the case remained unsolved for years. That was until 2011, when Isaac Turnbull, who was then 28 years old, called the Randolph County Police in July and confessed once again. This is the second confession now at this point to killing Declan, shooting him in the head with a rifle. Now, according to one of the officers' account, Isaac said on the phone that he wanted to surrender to police. So the new account was filed along with a new charge alleging that Isaac hit one of the police officers in the jaw after his confession. He struck the police officer during questioning after he himself called the police, saying that he wanted to confess. So for that particular assault, he was accused of simple assault on a police officer, and he pleaded not guilty to the charge. But regardless of this, due to double jeopardy, two confessions we have now, But because he was acquitted the first time due to double jeopardy, Isaac cannot be tried for the same crime twice. So they have this evidence or circumstantial evidence. They have two confessions, but they also have a diagnosis of a serious mental illness. There was an episode that Isaac, he just kind of flipped and started destroying his parents' house. There was a police standoff. He eventually was hospitalized at a Vermont like psychiatric hospital where they deemed him mentally unwell and he was incompetent. So unfortunately, he got off on that murder technically twice. It's an unfortunate situation, and I really feel for his family, for the family of Declan Lyons. I feel for his unborn child that will never get to meet their father. I feel for his fiance. But to end this episode, I do want to quote his boss, who said, "It would be impossible to say enough good things about Declan Lyons. It would be impossible to overstate his wonderful contribution here to what we do here for our students and our health programs. Declan and his fiance were happy about marriage. They were expecting a baby, and they had everything to look forward to. He was loved dearly because we loved him dearly." Unfortunately, this person's life was cut short. Now, I don't know if it's true about Isaac's mental health. I don't know of any details as far as the diagnosis. They don't really give that information. And again, I'm not sure why. Even just trying to look for a picture of Declan, I wasn't able to find one. Like, because apparently there's a child named Declan who's struggling with, I believe, cancer. So when you look up Declan Lyons, this kid pops up. And I know for sure that he wasn't a little boy at the time. So I'm just curious as to, like, what was the reason? Like, what was the motive? Was he suffering from schizophrenia and was hallucinating? Or he just had a mental, like, episode and just snapped? And the clan just happened to be, like, wrong place, wrong time. They still don't have a motive. And I don't know if Isaac ever came out and said, "Hey, this was the reason," or "I remember murdering him," or gave any details. There are pictures, surprisingly, of Isaac Turnbull. And the pictures that I've seen of him were pictures of him in handcuffs. Like, yeah, clearly he's inside of a courtroom. He just looks, to be honest, as a mental health professional, he looks like he's not all the way there. That's the truth. And I don't know if that's just his resting face or if he was playing anything up as far as his mental health, but he looks like he's not all the way there. So maybe there was some truth to his mental illness, and maybe it was just an unfortunate case of undiagnosed mental health. But that is why taking care of our mental health is so important. That is why mental health professionals are so important. That is why it is important to be observant. It is important to support those folks who have mental health issues, and to, even on a bigger scale, to improve funding for facilities, funding for community behavioral health agencies, so that mental health and treatment is accessible to everybody in need. But that's it. Like I said, it's a pretty open and shut case. Like, Isaac confessed twice to the murder of just a seemingly bright young man who had a future ahead of him, who wanted to be a family man, who just wanted to do right by the world and those around him. So our hearts go out to his family, his fiance, Jody, their baby. We hope that you are all healthy and well, and we're just trying to contribute to keeping Declan's memory alive. So you guys feel free to do more research. Let us know if you find anything, even just a picture. I didn't want to pry into anybody's privacy as far as like searching for Facebook or like an Instagram of maybe Jody or a family member to try and get a picture of Declan or kind of dig into their business, for lack of a better way to put it. And it was 2002, so I don't think Facebook was even out then. But this is just a really tragic case, but that's double jeopardy for you, folks. There's a movie, if you didn't know. If you haven't seen it, Double Jeopardy, I believe it's starring Ashley Judd. It was good. So I recommend, if you're like on a more like fictional scale, if you are looking for like a thriller and you're curious to see Double Jeopardy like play out in a fictional situation, Double Jeopardy with Ashley Judd. And I think, was Morgan Freeman in it? There was a guy. I haven't seen it in a number of years. I actually might watch it again, because it was that good of a movie. But thank you all for listening. I know this episode was like super short, but like I said, I don't have LaTanya with me to have a full fleshed out conversation. It's just me talking to you guys, and we hope you enjoy these episodes, even sometimes when we have to be solo. But I thank you for being loyal. See you all next week, same place, same time. Crime at the Family Table. Bye.